What am I trying to say? Is that we are supposed now to sit down and begin to look through the problems that are in our society and the drive that you have and begin to cultivate the business that you want to do, either as a core enterprise or as a social enterprise. The summary of the point is that there's work for us to do. There are people, Pastor has been here now, and Bishop has followed him up, to complain about the lack of skilled workmen in that sector, in the construction industry. It is a huge gap that needs to be filled. So, are we going to set up a school to bridge that gap? Or are you going to be one of the workmen? But one way or the other, immediately it is a challenge that has been thrown to us. Because for us to bring down the excellence that God has put in our system, we have to step into the place and draw it down. And in drawing it down, there are some responsibilities you have to put on your neck and say, this is my own work. Praise the Lord. I do a lot of training in my place of work, and I'm so convinced that we need to train entrepreneurs because we don't know how to do it. That is, we know how to go to the market, do basic buying and selling, but there are too many gaps in our knowledge base. So I'm so convinced. There was one day Bishop and I spoke till almost 10 p.m. in ShopRite. And I told him that there are certain things I'm not doing because I want to be sure about the things that I want to pursue. So after sitting down thinking and praying, I decided that, okay, this enterprise thing, we must do it. And I think that one of the reasons why I do it is just simply that there are gaps to be filled. If we don't do it, there's nobody else that is going to do it until there's money there. It's when there's money there that people are not going to rush into it. So we need to sit down, you know, and begin to itemize the things that we want to focus on. That is, what is the assignment that I'm going to do that is going to better society? That is going to better my system. Now, when I was thinking about it, I now said to myself that I am the salt of the earth. That's what the Bible says. And in being the salt of the earth, I look at it in two ways. That is, there's the work, there's my daily grind that is salt to the earth. There's the thing that I do every day. There's the work that I do. There's the assignment that I do. There's the vision that has been committed to my heart. That when I'm doing it, as I'm doing it, I'm adding salt to the earth. Then, of course, in the place of doing it, because I'm a Christian, I also know that once I enter an industry, immediately, I have spiritual leverage in that place. Therefore, I can begin to pray and things begin to change. My wife works in the airport now, and it's very interesting. And recently, I began to tell her, I said, you're a very dangerous person in that airport. And when she got to the airport, I said, this work is a spiritual work. That's what I told her. And we need to pray about everything. So I said, and her work involves her walking around the whole airport. I said, when you're walking, just be declaring things. Don't worry, you scatter that place. And in less than a few months that she got there, things became really bad that the MD in Lagos was in trouble. Because the runway was a bad job. So there was trouble. And one day, it was her shift. Somebody came, took pictures of that place, put it on social media. There was trouble everywhere. So they gave them query. They give my said, hey, this work that I just started, they give me query. I said, you are the one that is causing it. You think that you are just praying and nothing will happen? Things must happen. On the basis of that, they removed unqualified heads of departments in the place. They brought qualified people from Lagos. Those qualified people, they began to change what was happening in the airport. There's one woman who my wife was always saying, this woman does not work well. She's very lazy. She's this. One day, the woman didn't go to work, then breeze blew. And one part of the airport, just if you've been to the airport now, you see that there's one section that fell down. And that place just fell down. This was, a terminal building that was built very recently. And when it fell down, immediately that woman was given a query. I told her, I said, anybody that is working with you is in trouble. And you see, and I believe what I said, it sounded like a joke, but it's the truth. Because when you enter, sometimes there's nobody that is carrying the presence of God and is establishing the will of God in that place. So I said, when you enter a place, when you enter an industry, when you enter education, don't just look at yourself as just a teacher. You are just a teacher in that your small school. But you can immediately from that place begin to affect the entire system. By the words that you speak when you enter the place. Praise the Lord. I told teachers, I mean, I've done trainings with schools severally, and I told teachers, I said, you guys need to firm up. Because if you don't firm up, a government is coming. That government will decide teachers are important, and they are going to increase their money. And once they increase their money and give them plenty money, I told them, you know what's going to happen? Those people in the bank will just say, I'm not doing bank again. No. I've always wanted to be a teacher. Then they will move here. And then all the teachers that are not good enough, of course, when I see a banker, he will come with his 200 suits and he will be wearing it to my school. You, teacher, you wear slippers and jeans. I've been telling you since all these days, dress well, dress well, dress well. You didn't agree. Now, a banker, this guy is a banker. I'm going to pay him what I'm paying you because the industry has changed, because the system has changed. Who will I employ? I'm going to throw you out, of course. Because the guy, all the time he's been in the bank, he's been using physics to even calculate money because physics is what is in his soul. Yes, that's what is in his soul. The guy wants to teach physics. But because of this, man must chop, he's been there. Opportunity now opens, they increase salary to maybe 80,000, 90,000 for a teacher. And he knows that where he is, he's collecting 150. He says, let me sacrifice 60,000. This is the drive of my heart. He goes to that place. I said, you are in quarter to be sacked. Praise the Lord. We need men to be out there, to be doing the will of God. As we pray about it, there are also things that are laid in our hearts. There are places where you have the power. Even the places where you are now, you know, in consonance with that thing that Pastor said about the spirit of excellence, I mean, like, I started in my own office just recently that every door that we can open to drive enterprise development, we are going to open it now. You know? That is, next year, by the grace of God, we have a program that we'll do with universities. We just want to enter, and that is what, there are those opportunities within your industry. You have to open the doors, let breeze come in. It's not all of them that you'll be able to do, but some of them, till you open the door, there's nobody else that will step in. But once the door is open, people begin to step in. Praise the Lord. We have to see this business as the assignment that God has put in our hands in whatever area where you are. Your business, your career, it's an assignment. So you have to look for a way that, how do I draw down the will of God in this place? And I know that as you pray all the time, ideas begin to drop into your heart. God begins to explain things to you. You know, and I was thinking about it also in line with that spirit of excellence. When you enter into that place where you have prayed and said, God, give me the spirit of excellence, the first thing that begins to happen is, maybe before you used to sew cloth like this. The day you want to sew it like that, someone will tell you, no, don't sew it like that, sew it like this. The more you respond to that instruction, the more excellent your things begin to be. But the more you begin to refuse that instruction, the less, you know, that spirit begins to depart from you and you go back to your old ways. So, you know, we have to learn to respond to what is good. As ideas drop in your heart, carry it and run with it. Something inspired me very recently. A few years ago, I remember Pastor said that he has stopped procrastinating, that anything he wants to do, he does immediately. So I started following Pastor in that. I said, this thing that Pastor said, let me to be doing it. But Pastor was running too fast. I couldn't catch up. After I said, Pastor, you have energy. Please be going. Let me procrastinating small. I'm doing small. Then recently I was reading something this girl did. That's Linda Akeji. She opened a social media website now. And she said one day the idea dropped in her heart that she should open Linda Akeji's social. That she just said, I will open this thing. That the idea just dropped. She said, the next day, I just called our designer and gave him the idea. I started designing. When I read that, I said, what? I said, this girl didn't even take time to pray over this thing. I said, Lord, take 3 months to, you know, seek the face of God. The following day, I called our designer and he began to design. I said, I said, me, I'm going to be praying on the go now. If the idea just was, I said, in Jesus' name, Lord, this is the idea. Let it happen. You said we should commit our ways. I've committed it. Let's go and start working. Because many times when you leave it, it becomes still. Apostle was sharing with us one guy who had a vision yesterday that he was supposed to be a pastor. And God gave him a vision. He drew the church that God gave him. And he said, yes, this is the church God gave me. He said, let me go and do business first. He went. He came back 20 years later. How many years later? He came back and said, now that I've made money, let me come and start that church. He found a church. He met a church in that town. The church was a large, thriving church. When he entered the church, he noticed that the design that he drew by inspiration of the Holy Spirit was exactly designed in that place and was heartbroken. Praise the Lord. I'm very afraid of things like that. when God has given you assignment, the next thing you say, God, so now that you have taken my assignment, are you going to kill me? Praise the Lord. We have assignments to do as business people. And as we've heard, it's not about the money. You know, the core thing is that we want to pour value into the system. Anything that doesn't have tangible value that you are doing, just leave it. Just let it go, let it go, let it go. Praise the Lord. Let's just look at that thing that you know that this thing puts tangible value into the system. Now, when I talk to people, so many people that I talk to, they are ladies. They say, I said, so what business do you want to do? Everybody wants to do fashion designing. There's no problem. We are many in Nigeria. Be fashion designing. But very soon, that place is going to be, there's going to be a glut there. You have to ask yourself, what else can I do that will add value to this? It's not just these things that you know, fashion designing, making popcorn, bead making. There are other things, you know. Open your heart. Let God drop those things into your heart. And I'm sure that you evolve something great. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Always delivering. Thank you very much, sir. Amen. Please, I hope by now we must have written our questions. So please, start passing them probably to Okemute or get it across to me somehow. Please, pass the pieces of papers, please, so that we can take the questions. Some of us came from our offices. Some of us are going back to our offices. So we need to be fast so that we can leave here and attend to other things for the day. Powerful stuff. One of the things I was telling Udechukwu, was it yesterday? Yinka just touched on it. So I just want to emphasize it a little bit before we just get into the question. Just 2 minutes. I was just telling him that something I'm learning seriously these days, I'm seriously learning, is how to find time to rest, to think, and probably in that period, inspirations drop. Sometimes we are too busy. We are involved in a lot of things, you know, someone like me, you know, but finding time to have a quiet moment, probably in your office, in your car, on the road, somewhere, having a quiet moment, shutting out the activities has been of great value to me. You know, ideas drop. Sometimes God wants to drop ideas, but we are concerned about so many things that we don't get to, you know, pick the things he's dropping. So find that time, and I believe you have great ideas of God, what God wants you to do. Hallelujah. Question number one we have here. We are told always that financial blessings answers directly to covenant practice, which is tithing, against what we are being taught here. Okay, which is tithing against what we are being taught here, that we are blessed because of what God did through Jesus by his finished works on the cross of Calvary, bringing about excellence. Okay, the person is just saying that he has always learned that financial blessings answer directly to covenant practice, which is tithing. But in this place, we are being thought differently against tithing, saying that we are blessed because of what God did through Jesus. So that finished work is the reason why we are blessed, not a product of those covenant practices of tithing. So probably the person wants some clearance, I guess, some clarity on that issue. Did I get that right? Okay, please, can Pastor help us, please? Sir, please. Okay. Pastor said it is not relevant to what we are discussing today. Okay, so let's move on. Maybe the person should probably meet people like Olayinka, Okemute, or myself, so that we'll discuss that. Question number two. Good day, sir. Please, I would like to know this. I teach in a secondary school, and I am concerned about excelling in that area. A, that's the first question. Can a teacher be excellent and still see a majority of his students fail their exams, especially if it is mathematics? Number two, how can a teacher be able to carry along his students so that he can experience excellence, especially from the area of his students excelling? Can a teacher be excellent and still see majority of his students fail their exams, especially mathematics? How can a teacher be able to carry along his students so that he can experience excellence, especially from the area of students excelling. So he's asking, I've been doing my work excellently, but my students still fail. Is it possible? How can we improve? How can he improve on that? The number two is, how can he carry his students along? As he's being excellent in his work, dispensing his duties, how can he carry the students along in being excellent in passing with A's and B's? Do you understand the question? So that's the question. Can someone help us with that? Okay.
Praise the Lord. Okay, I've worked with schools a bit, so I can say a few things. I think the first thing is that when you talk about this teaching thing, it's like several other jobs. People think that if you're a teacher, you go to work and then by 2 o'clock you have closed. No, you don't close by two. There's so much more that you have to do. The better you prepared you are, the better you can help your students. Praise the Lord. Now, you have to also look, you have to see that it's not about you teaching just mathematics. I remember one of my friends that we served together, and his drive that time while we were serving was to make, he found out that what he was just trying to do with his students, he said he found out that people were afraid of mathematics. And you know, the fear of mathematics makes it even difficult for people to learn mathematics. So what he used to do was that he would gather students from different schools, gather them together and start discussing with them, showing them mathematical secrets, so much so that the fear of mathematics was taken away from them. You know, for students, especially these days, one thing children are looking for, or students, is they want to see a measure of commitment from you. They want to know they can approach you at any time. They want to know that they can be led aright, you know. So one of the things you have to communicate is that commitment. Then you have to also improve on your own capacity to instruct so that they learn. And then you have to put in extra effort all the time. There's something I've never done while I was doing training. We did that at this last thing. I gave these entrepreneurs I gave them homework. I gave them assignment. I said, go and do this assignment and send it to my email. You have to go the extra mile with these students, you know. You also have to sit down and learn new tricks, new methods from people that are ahead of you that you know that it seems to be working with them. There's a man I know, if he coaches you mathematics, you must pass mathematics. He has the secret. He has the juju. Do you understand? He knows it. You know, so some of those things are things that you have to employ. You have to go the extra mile to improve on your own capacity to teach and to instruct. You have to express commitment in what you do, and then you have to learn new things that you can also use to teach the students. I hope that helps.
Hallelujah. I think he nailed it. You want to add something?
Thank you very much. It is good. I actually wanted to mention two things, but out of the two things I had in mind, Yinka touched on one, which is extra effort, making sacrifices. And there is this other part that we don't often emphasize upon, especially when it has to do with teachers, is praying for the students too. You know, when I did my NYC, I was privileged to teach. And I had one student, Elizabeth. I would tell Elizabeth, 1 + 1 = 2. Elizabeth, what did I say? She would just be staring. So it is not just enough to concentrate on yourself to have that excellent spirit. It's very good. But to those you want to impact, there is a need to also pray for them so that their mind can be receptive, so that they can learn fast, so that that excellent spirit could come upon them too. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So let's really move. He's talking about praying for your students. Praying for your students, not just only praying for yourself, as you have prepared for them, as you have prepared how to teach them, also pray so that they can receive what you are about to teach and let God open their minds. So let's move on. Still in the spirit of excellence. In building capacity, when do we draw the line between learning in godly way and learning in worldly way? Example, reading business books, etc. Where do we draw the line? between learning in godly way and learning in worldly way. So he's asking, where do we draw the line between reading business books and reading Bible or other godly literature about business?
Praise the Lord. Very good question. I think it's very important because sometimes when we are talking, people sometimes wonder whether you are telling them never to read a business book and all of that. Let me give you an example. Accounting is business. Accounting is business. What does the Bible say about accounting? You understand my point? So where am I going to learn cost accounting? It's not like it to be from a Bible. However, everything that you learn in life, there is nothing the Bible has not spoken about. So anything you are learning, that's what I'm saying. Now, I read all kinds of... If you hear me talk, sometimes I'll tell you that Robert Kiyosaki said this. There was a time I read this man, Paul Getty, he said this one. Then this man, Bill Gates, said this. The other time I was taking... I opened my mind and I absorb a lot of stuff. Or let me say, I pay attention to a lot of stuff. But everything is filtered from biblical principles. Everything. And then again, you have to also know what your hope is on. This is what I tell people. Just learn. Try and learn what is right to do, not how to get results. I don't know whether you get my point. Let me explain what I'm saying. How many people remember Aaron? Okay. There was a time, at least you will remember this company, Arthur Andersen. Yes. But it doesn't exist anymore. They folded up, they collapsed. The consulting aspect was changed to, because the name had become odious. You know, the Bible says something is odious. That name was odious. Why was it odious? When I was a young guy, when I was a student those days, and shortly after, everybody wanted to work in Arthur Andersen. They were everywhere. You know, that was the biggest almost accounting firm in the world. But of course, they had in Nigeria also. But then why did they collapse? They were the accounting firm that audited Enron, WorldCom, Parmalat. There were two other major companies that they audited worldwide, and they all failed in 1 year. Essentially, Arthur Andersen was lying. They were not telling the truth. Enron was declaring profit. Arthur Andersen was signing that is true. Then people began to expose their lies, and these companies came crashing down one after the other. Major, I'm not talking about small companies worth billions and billions. And in 1 year or 1.5 years maximum, all these five companies, go and check it, they all collapsed. They had one thing in common. They were audited by Arthur Andersen. Why those people didn't go to prison, I don't understand till today. Because Americans normally jail you for sneezing too loud. Americans are funny, but they didn't jail those guys. But the CFO of Enron is still in prison. The chief financial officer of Enron is still in prison. Now, what I'm going to say is that, so, why did Enron collapse? Arthur Andersen used to lie. So, and then, you know, there are principles in business books they teach. For example, when they focus for you that money is the aim, you reject it nicely. If the book keeps on talking about money is the aim, fold it and throw it away. American president-elect, what is his name? Donald Trump. I read his book, Out of the Deal. He talked about if your wife is not letting you make progress in business, divorce her and move on with your life. And you can see it in his life. He's on his third wife. When America was correct, he would never be president ever. But America, everybody's mad now, so he's one of the few sane human beings there. I mean, if he's 20 years ago, people like him would never make it to be president. You've married three times. Your wife, current wife, has posed nude. Not good anywhere. But America is thought it's not a problem anymore. Obama gave Ellen DeGenerated, what do you call it? What do you mean? Her name is Ellen DeGenerated. Give her a national honor. For what? You don't know. Just because she was bold enough to admit that she's lesbian. You give a national honor to somebody who admitted that she's lesbian. What's the big deal? You admitted that your head is not correct and I should give you a national honor. But that's why people like, anyway, what I'm talking about is that. So Donald Trump made a statement that if your wife is not letting you move forward, he had a golf friend whose wife is disturbing his career, just told him, please divorce this girl so you can move on. You drop that quickly. I read How to Be Rich by Paul Getty. He said, how do you make money? rise up early, go to bed late, strike oil. I said, you are very foolish. One, it is vain to rise up early and to go to bed late. The striking of oil is a gift of God. I understood that one. So it's where you put your focus. That's the thing. Now, what about business books? Well, you just try and glean truth, because for me, it's just learn as much as possible about facts. Like, that's what I started with. Cost accounting is not in the Bible, but there are many principles of accounting in there. If you read it properly, you will find it. Favorite, Proverbs 27:23. Know the condition of your flock. It's in the scriptures. How to do your accounting and not lie. I used to tell my wife sometimes, I said, listen, this accounting you are doing, you are deceiving yourself. What I mean by that is that she's not lying to anybody. Say, look, this is the cost of this. I say, no, that's not the cost. You didn't calculate the cost properly. Sit down and recalculate it. Because if you don't, you are going to say you made the profit. Like we were talking about yesterday. You are going to say you made the profit when you did not make. Why? Because you are afraid to make your cost look big. If your cost is big, it is big. It's not as if I do it like that, the cost will be big. No, it's what is the real cost, not what is the cost that looks nice. Do you get my point? So that's how you strike the balance. Yes, business books, I'm not saying they're totally evil. Just like I'm a doctor, I read medical books, you understand? And when they say a lot of things, you hear me, I lie. I laugh. I said they are lying. They say cholesterol will go and kill you. I laugh for more than 20 years. They lied for 30 years. I learned it about 20 years ago. I started laughing. Eventually, who was proven right? Me. They now admitted that they are sorry. They said on that lie now. If you eat sugar, it's going to kill you. I'm laughing already. That one, they will fight that lie out in a short while. In 2 years, they will find out that, sorry, it's a lie. It's a lie. So, do you get my point? So that's it. I hope I answered the question a bit. Or if you need more clarification, please ask. I think that's a simple way to put it now.
Thank you very much, sir. All right, I think we're making progress. We're making progress. Am I correct? So, wow, more questions are arriving. Okay, we'll take all of them. We'll just be fast. All right, the next question here. Good morning, sir. If a businessman give out the proportion of his tithes to less privileged, has he really paid the tithe? If a businessman gives out a proportion of his tithe to the less privileged, has he really paid the tithe? Has he really paid the tithe? You want to answer?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. He is not paying his tithe. Bible talk about the house of God, not privilege. If you want to go to privilege, you go to privilege.
All right. Let's not get into the tithe problem. Please, if you want to pay your tithe, you pay your tithe. If you want to give alms, please give alms. Thank you very much. The next question...
Praise the Lord. The question I just want to ask, all right, we will not discuss that one details now, is that why businessman? Why not salary earner? Why not? Do you get my point? Do you understand? So, you know, the first question when that was asked, I said that no, it's not in line with what we are discussing this morning. And I really think this follows slightly along that one also. So there's nothing specific about a businessman in that one, okay? But let me just say something briefly, because these people are asking this question. Obviously, most of them are not regular people here with us, because you will have understood that we have taught here before that there's a difference between the tithes of Moses and the tithe of Abraham. So if you are tithing like that, you are tithing like Moses. That's not Abraham's tithe. If you tell me that if I have not calculated, it's not, that's Moses. Do you understand? Even the tithe of Moses said you should share it. He allowed the storehouse in the house. First, there's no house of God today. That's a building. That's out. Do I have any controversy on that? There's no house of God. Where's the house of God now? See, it's not me that said it. It's this man of God. To him and the Bible, they said, the house of God is this guy here, and this guy on this side, and this fellow sitting here, and this young woman here, and all the men and women in the house, they are the house of God. And historically, even under Moses, we can't talk about it now, the tithe was meant for a number of things. One of them, to eat and celebrate in God's presence. You can go and read that. Another one was meant to put in the storehouse where you give to the poor, not build a building. The tithe was never used to build the temple. Never. Temple was always built by free will offerings. The tithe was used to feed the poor, the stranger, and the priests. The Moses, the title of Moses. The title of Abraham was given to individuals. It was not compulsory. It was how you liked it. If you like it, you do it. If you don't do it. And the percentage was a taxation system. So if you pay government 15% and you tithe 10%, you are cheating God. The tithe of Abraham, you have to do 15% you give to government. Anything less than that is fraud. Let's leave that at that. Like I said, that is not the discussion for this morning. So summary, choose. Are you tithing like Abraham or tithing like Moses? If you're tithing like Moses, then follow the rules, which is not your business, but you chose to do it. But follow it properly. But if you're tithing like Abraham, then you have a totally different set of rules. All right? Thank you. Please read our book, How to Work for God, the new edition. We'll discuss some of those things inside there. But we're not discussing that in details now because there's nothing specific on that question with what we're talking about. It's general doctrine of Christianity.
Thank you very much, sir. I have three questions here. Two of them are alike. They're just talking about the same. So I'll read out the two of them. We'll respond to that before the next one. You have ideas and the passionate about it, but you do not have the capital to kickstart. What do you do when you are finding it difficult to even find a place to work for a while? All right, the other question that looks like it is this. When an idea requires startup finance, but the money is not available yet, what should I be doing in the meantime till the money arrives? I said, when an idea requires a startup finance, but the money is not available yet, what should I be doing in the meantime till the money arrives? So the other one says, you have ideas and passionate about it, but you do not have the capital to kickstart. What do you do when you are finding it difficult to even find a place to work for a while? You have an idea burning in your heart, giving you a lot of ginger, but you don't have money to carry it on. What do you do in the meantime? Or how do you raise funds? Okay, you can't even find a job for the meantime. What do you do? Some of us have been there, so let's get some responses, either by experience or by other forms of knowledge. You want to help?
Like we've heard said several times, capital is not your primary pursuit. I look at business as a big structure like this. I mean, a business is something that is big like so, an enterprise. So when you have the challenge of funding is one aspect of it, and you want to set up a business, the next thing you need to do is that, if it's possible, what part of that business can I start running now? For example, you may want to go into production of something. If somebody else already produces that thing already, and you don't have any money to go into that production, why don't you start by setting up a sales outlet for that thing? What we found out is that you are still going to have to sell your own in the first place. If, for example, you want to start selling materials, you have to sell materials. Now, while you don't have money to produce, but you start selling, what happens is, by the time you have money to produce, you've already opened up a market for you to sell your own products. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But you see, one of the things that, if, let's take all of that away, what should you do in the interim? If your heart is committed to that thing, I think you should get a place where that thing is being done and see how you can start working and learning there. Do you understand? For example, you may say, I want to go into production. And today, Bank of Industry readily gives loans for people that want to go into production. But even though I do business plans for people to go to Bank of Industry, I'm so wary when you come and say, Bank of Industry wants to give me money. Please do a business plan for me. I'm so wary. And the simple reason is this. I'm so afraid that you're going to fail in that business. Why am I afraid? I'm looking for how much experience you have to run that thing profitably. Because running a business profitably, because first, the business plan we are doing for you, it's not foolproof. There are many parts of it that are blind spots, you know. And those blind spots can actually wreck you. There are people that have bought machines. They bought all the machines. They set up the thing. They couldn't kick off. Do you understand? Sometimes what you need is that you don't have the expertise to do a part of it. And then you are stuck. And Bank of Industry is waiting that, 6 months will soon complete. This guy will start paying us our money back. So you now have a problem. Do you understand? So as much as possible, what you need at first is the expertise to do this business. And there are two levels of expertise in an enterprise. One is what I call business expertise. That is, how do you sell what you are producing? How do you manage your money? How do you do all of this? Then there's what we call technical expertise. That is, now I want to produce bread. This bread that I want to produce, do I know the proportions to mix it? How do I make sure I have a unique taste and all of that? Like Bishop is an architect. There's the technical expertise, how to draw the house, how to supervise those guys that are building. Then the other part is, how do you make sure the money your client is giving you is sufficient to achieve the type of beauty that he wants, and then you are also running profitably, and you also keep yourself in business and get the comeback. Do you understand? So right now, while you are thinking about that business you want to set up, the first thing you want to pursue is to pursue expertise. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And then you can step into an area of the business that is comfortable for you to step into now. Once you step into that, you're stepping into the industry little by little. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope that helps.
Please, let me just say something that Damon John says in Shark Tank, and I quote it once in a while. Damon John says that money doesn't solve problems, only drives you towards your problems in a Bugatti. And as I get you there faster, comfortably. Do you understand my point? I'm always a bit one kind, like Hinka was saying. If somebody said that what I need to start is capital. Anytime I hear somebody telling me what I need to start the capital and the person is not doing anything, you know the truth, you don't know that business. That is the fact. Capital normally is used to expand. If you say, look, I need capital to start, like I was saying, if they go and give you big money, I went to preach somewhere once. As I just said, may you not see that money you are looking for to start your business? Everybody say amen. Everybody kept quiet. Like, what? Even the pastor, my host, he looked at me like, Pastor Mark, what's going on? I said, you didn't hear me. I said, that money you are looking for to start your business, may nobody give it to you. Of course, nobody said amen. That kind of amen, you're on your own, pastor. I would not say amen. But I knew what I was saying. Most people get monies like that, never make money. They lose it, they start looking for more. Do you understand? Everything, the Bible says that the earth by itself produces first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. There's a process of it. Do you understand? And I'm convinced you will always find a way. Somebody told me that part of the question is that, what if there's no job in that area? What God is telling you is there is, look for it. You want to start software development and you need capital to start. Fela Duruto, he said to start doing consulting, he didn't have a computer. He used to go to business center to work. He would sit down in the business center. There was something he did for them so they could give him free time on their computer. He couldn't buy a computer. He ran to a business center to be using their computer. He would pay for browsing time and be doing his business plans. Nobody gave him money to buy a computer. So generally, when people tell me something like that, I'm a bit careful. I don't think you have looked hard enough. There's something you want to do. What do you do meanwhile? Are you telling me that nobody else is doing that kind of thing? It's possible. It's possible. But are you sure of that? Like Inka said, if you break it down to components, are you saying there's no component of it that somebody is already doing you can go and work with? Somebody said that there's no job meanwhile. That is the reason why God is not giving you money to start that business, because he knows you can't handle the money. I found that most people who make statements like that, they actually can't. You know, ideas are plenty. Oh, well, this is Mr. Idea. Move back. Move back. I can see his prophet. One day I warned this man. I said, next time you come with an idea, I will blow you. Because the man gets 10 ideas a day. Oh, like, you forgotten him? One day I told him, I said, oh boy, let's come to an agreement. No ideas for 6 months. Are we clear? He and I keep to an agreement here. I said, I don't want to hear any idea from you for 6 good months. In the 6 months, what do you do? I don't care. Go and find something else you are doing and earn an income. He said, how? Look, I'm looking for a driver. If I can drive, come and drive me. I'm serious. I'm not kidding about that. Ibuku Aweshuka said that he's looking for graduates that will drive her and he will make them millionaires. He said, if you drive me for 2 years, you will hear enough to be rich. That's the book. I wish she could, not me. She's currently chairman of First Bank. No, there are so many things to do. Why I was giving this my friend as an example, that my brother used to get 10 ideas. Was it 10 a day or 10 a week? So the fact that you have an idea doesn't mean it will work. Why God has not given you money a lot of times is that he doesn't want you to experiment with every idea. So he says, okay, Bishop has an idea. Go and meet Bishop and execute his idea for him. I've given him small money to start his own idea. Help him out. You'll be amazed. There are many things you take for granted. You'll be surprised. You say, I want to start like this. We'll not get somebody to be doing our software engineering and all of that. So you get 10 million, you hire the office, you do this and that. And that's okay. Yes, we'll not need somebody to start the software engineering. Fine now. you will find, you'll be surprised that they are not as common as you thought. The few that can do what you are dreaming of, they're already working for Oracle in Lagos. Microsoft is handling an employed one. You can't compete with Microsoft for salary. And he's not buying your idea. All the money Microsoft is paying him in a year is the whole thing you used to start your business. Suddenly, like Inka said, you're stuck. You've hired the office. You've forgotten. Rent is counting. Bank of Industry money is rolling. Believing that's why God doesn't answer you. So if you don't find the money, I still believe you shouldn't look for the money. I still believe you should go and look for somebody who is doing something already and go and work with the person. That's my own conviction. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. All right. Let's get another response.
I don't want to add that. I think that most of the time, when you say that you can't find a job, maybe because of the kind of job you're looking for, there are jobs everywhere, but you just feel that you can't do those ones. They are beneath you, or it's not my kind of thing, or this overrated passion is not there for you. There are a lot of jobs everywhere, every day. I keep looking for workers to work with me. I can't find. So there's job everywhere. Ask the people that you know. Start with your network. Do you have any job I can do for you? Do you have any job I can do for you? And you find that people really need people to work for, to help them with things. But you sit down and wait for the white collar, the blue, white and white, I've been a blue collar job, you know, or you are waiting for one big thing to happen to you. And once you apply here, they don't call you out. You say there's no job. There are jobs everywhere. Just open your eyes and maybe just calm down a bit. You were able to find the job that you need to do.
All right. Thank you very much. Please give me 2 minutes to just give you a story so as to buttress what everyone has been saying. I was at a site yesterday and I felt very, very bad. Very, very bad. The truth is this, money is not what you need. And sometimes for God to prove you, to show you that it's not money that you need, he gives you the money so that you will fail. I was at a site yesterday and I was asking the person, he said that a young man opened One You Win. These are beautiful You Win that people are doing great things with. One You Win opened Fish Farm. Fish farm, what do they call it again? Fish farm, okay. Fish pond, open fish farm. So he built ponds, you know, in that site. Built, you know, a small house for office and security and everything. So what happened? He couldn't make it. He ran the place for some time and ran it down. He has closed, no fish, no water, nothing. He didn't win, he lost actually. It's not that you lose, it's not you win, you lose. And I was sad. I said, look at free money. If it was before, you'd be saying, I don't have money. I want to run a fish farm. I have this idea. I have this idea. I have this idea. I'll do it like this. I'll do it like this. And by 2 years' time, I'll open another place. Beautiful ideas. Ideas are always very beautiful. Until you start, you get your hands soiled. You know whether it's actually a beautiful idea. Until you start working it on paper, in your mind, in your bedroom, it's beautiful. Beautiful. As in, I don't know how much he won. Of course, you win his maximum of 10 million. I don't know whether he won 10 million or something. But sincerely, I was sad that he couldn't pull through on a free money. Probably was doing big man with it. Probably was reckless. Probably he didn't understand some principles. Yes.
No, I find that most people, there are little things like I was saying yesterday, accounting. God says, you know, most people have never done accounting in their life. When I say, I don't mean they don't have a BSc in accounting. No. I mean, okay, tell the guy, last time you got 50,000, what did you do with it? He can't account for it. He doesn't even know the cost of things. The other day, the driver, the one who started working with us, he said, we needed water in the house. So, Ginger, but the man, you know, he lives in the village. He doesn't understand that. I live in Independence layout. And we don't buy water in Jerrican. We buy tankers. That's people. that is a level of people I deal with. That's the life I live. I have reservoirs. I buy tankers. So that day was gingering, telling my wife that you go and get water. Go and get water. So he carried the Passat, carried Jerrican. They just let you just go. He called. He asked, okay, where's money? So I went, all this ginger for water? You need money? He said yes. They said the Jerrican 30 naira. We didn't say anything. My wife gave him money. He bought the water and came and told my wife that this was at Mpokiti, that he knows somewhere in New Haven where he can buy for 20 naira a jerrica. My wife said I shouldn't be angry. That we just need to explain things to him. He said, look, you will go, okay, that pastor carries how many jerrycans? 5, all right? And pocket is just down my road. Then you will save 10 naira per jerrycan times 5. How much is 15 naira? And use my car to drive to Upper Chim. It sounds funny, but do you know we all do it every day? And when you have 10 million, you will do it bigger. Somebody will tell you that, we can get this thing in Lagos. Because you have 10 million, you will buy Eric flight, go, come. 50,000 naira has gone. Then you will make a heavy saving. They are not giving you each unit. You are making 5,000 naira less on each unit. Except that you need only 4. So you've said how many? 20. Your body didn't tell you that you wanted to fly. Use 50,000 naira to save 20,000 naira. Net loss of 30. That was why Enron collapsed. Enron will go for businesses in Brazil, lose $500 million on one business, wipe it off their account, keep it in the set. They call it a SPV. They create a special purpose vehicle for it, hide the loss under a special purpose vehicle, while Enron makes. That thing never happened, but $500 million is gone, cash. Now, these are things that God says, if I give you 10 million, you will experiment with 10 million. You'll be back to zero in 6 months, I know. But you'll have lost 10 million because you have an idea. So I'm going to wait for you to learn how to count properly, how to count costs, because that expression, again, is counting the cost in the Bible. Then, for that reason, I give you 15,000. Professionally, it's let me give an example. Now, the man who's talking, if he says, I don't want any beam here, and I make the story the building 3 stories, so the only other way is that we are going to hang 3 massive pillars outside and use powerful steel cables like suspension bridge to hold the building. Can you afford this? No, then we are not doing. Are you getting what I'm going to say? It's because, let me tell you a small story to amplify what I'm saying. God is our. It's a furniture man that's behind there. No, it's not furniture. He does some work. He did some work for my office once. And in there shelves in our store in the department. I was at HOD that time. So he told me the cost. I said, God, it's too expensive. He told me the kind of wood he will use. I said, God, just use any kind of wood. Just once it will not rot. It's a store, inside the store, just to create a rack where we can put, we bag our, because of my department, I'm a pathologist. So our specimen lasts essentially forever. That's one of our made blocks. The raw specimens, we can discard after a year, but there's what we call wax blocks. You are supposed to store them almost perpetually. So they keep accumulating year by year, year by year. So you have to look for where to keep them. So we put them in bags. They just create shelves so we can stack them in. It's going to be out of view. You know, he said something, which is what I want to repeat so that everybody will know. He said, yes, you have said it like this. It is good. He said, but the day they will ask who did it, you won't be there. He said, this is your explanation you are giving me now. The day somebody will ask who did this thing, you won't be there to explain that I was the one that insisted that God should use rough wood because it's out of sight. He says, not only what you need, it's my work. The man made it clear to me that it is my work. My name is going to be on it. And if my name is going to be on it, there's a minimum standard I'm ready to allow. I have to give in to the guy. Blessings are commanded. It's not every client you will get. Some clients will go away from you. That is a matter of fact. Please always bear that in mind. Some customers won't buy from you because the next person has to eat also. You're not the only person around. So you lose a client is not a big deal. You understand? See, let me say something about all of these things. Sometimes these questions are difficult to answer in isolation. How do I make money if I don't build my client? If you have quality in your own work, do you understand? Your client wants you to do it. Are you getting my point? So what do you mean? If you have built excellence, I mean, you've been to tailors. So let's down one way. Come, there are tailors that will say, I'll sew it for free. Say, don't worry, give me my material. He said, okay, I'm not going to charge you anything. Say, don't worry, leave her now. And there are people who will stand and say, this is how much I'm charging. You can argue, you can quarrel, how can you be charging like that? So and Shamu will discuss. You know you are going to pay. Why? The fellow has put in something that's making sure that you want his services. So these things are put together. Don't be afraid to build for your professional services. If they are good, people will be willing to pay for it. You know, there are cultures that are in people's minds that they say, clients will not agree. It is not clients that will not agree. It's you that's not agreeing. If you had put your foot down, do you understand? They will understand after some time that these things are meant to be built. No, there's one culture we have in Nigeria. Professional services are poorly priced. You understand? And it is not the society's fault. It is those of us that are offering the services that will keep on amplifying that idea in their minds. What I mean is this. A man wants to build a house. He's an architect. He knows that if he says this, my drawing and supervision is 1 million, they won't agree to pay. So his cement that's 1,005, he says 1,008. One day they will find out you are lying. You have lost more because a good name is number one. If you tell, okay, remember that our bond that we said that you were supposed to do one job for when it was pricing? I said, you can't, you know, if you remember how we discussed, I said, break it down for him. This is material. I can't discount on material. I'm not the one producing it. You want me to build, let's say, a BQ for you? The cement price is dictated by Dangote. You can't price it. So by the time a man is pricing your cement, he knows you are lying. And then you start bulging on it, you've told him you are lying. But if you say, look, cement is 50 bags. We'll buy from this place. Is how much is it now? 2,100. If you say, hey, reduce the price of cement. You say, okay, how can I reduce the price? Reduce the amount of cement. Is it possible to reduce the amount of cement? No. The price is not Dangote that is the... Okay, how do you remix the cement so that the house can collapse later? So what I'm going to say is that if we as a habit explain to people, this is material we are getting from Dangote, this other 500,000 I put on it is my cost of design and supervision on that project. Let him talk from now till tomorrow. You can budge on it because it's not cast in iron, but then that cost must be there. That, okay, this is my profit. That's what I used to take care of myself. All this other one is for Dangote. Who does iron and steel? It's for the steel people. This is cable for Nigeria Cable and Meta. This is the one that's my own. Okay. This work will be 3 months. Don't you think I'm worth this in 3 months? If he says no, then let him go. If your work is good, somebody else will come.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we have clarity with that already. So that is the end. That's all we have for today. And we thank God for his mercies. We thank God for helping us thus far. So please, we are really, really very sorry that we've taken your time beyond what we planned. But I believe we've blessed you more than we thought we would. Hallelujah. If you are blessed today, say amen.
Amen.
If you are really blessed, say amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So please, let's go out there, exercise the spirit of excellence, and succeed as we already created our successes, and make impact in our generation, and people will bless the name of our Lord in Jesus' name. Please, let's call Pastor to give us the benediction for this morning.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's just bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks. Very important. Let's just tell him thank you. Like I was preaching yesterday, the principle of first fruits. Remember, we say increase is a gift. If you're not around yesterday, please make sure you get these materials at the end and listen to it. Fruit is a gift. It is God that gives us a gift. So say, Lord, thank you. I receive from you. My eyes are on you alone. My eyes are on you alone. In the name of Jesus Christ. As you depart from here, goodness will go with you.
Amen.
Mercy will go with you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When you go back to work between now and evening, you will accomplish more in the few hours than many people have worked for a whole day. The spirit of speed will come upon you.
Amen.
You know, there was a time Elijah prayed and Ahab was in his chariot being drawn by horses running back to the city. When they heard the sound of an abundance of rain, Elijah ran on his on his feet. No horse, no chariot, and he overtook the chariot of Ahab. That is the spirit of speed. It will come to you in results for today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Some people, you say, how can you leave your business in the morning to go and hear the word of God? If it is the word of God, why won't you leave your business? That's why you have left it. But God will multiply for you abundantly in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You get back to the shop, you get back to the market, you will sell for the next 4 hours what people did not sell from 8 o'clock to 6 p.m. today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Remember, blessings are commanded. I command God's blessings to you now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. He will lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.